The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. Really excited for today's show. Steve Patterson, president, Pro Sports Consulting, former Arizona State, former Texas athletic director, former front office chief of the Arizona Coyotes, been in pro sports forever, back to the Portland Trailblazer days. I want his view on where college athletics is going with the changes that have been happening here in the last few days. The avalanche started last week with the canceling of the Ivy League and then Stanford cutting sports and then the Pac-12 saying we're only going to play in conference. And now today the SEC is having meetings today. What direction will they go? The Big Ten has said we're only going to play within our conference. So what happens to all these non-Power 5 programs that have relied on all the money coming in? And is Arizona State going to have to look at cutting sports? Steve Patterson has been in Ray Anderson's chair before. So I want to get very direct with him on what he sees. Again, the president of Pro Sports Consulting, that is Steve Patterson. Fabiano's with us today. Fabs. It feels good to say fantasy football here in the middle of July because it means that training camp is right around, well, wait, maybe not, I don't know. But we'll have the Hall of Famer, Michael Fabiano from SiriusXM. He will be with us here in a few minutes. Eric is with us now, and it's good to check in. I had to get myself together. It's a Monday. I've been off a little bit. How are you?
I'm well. Yeah. I'm excited because I see light. There's a tunnel down there, and at the end, there is a ray of light.
Yeah? What's that light look like to you?
I don't know. The teams are in the bubble, and we're talking about NFL training camp, and the Diamondbacks are doing inter-squad scrimmages, and it finally feels like we're to a point now where we can really talk about sports.
The state's on fire. There, I just threw water. I just threw water on your fire.
I can only control so much.
Did you do anything over the weekend? It was 119 out here. We went golfing on Saturday. The thing about 30 plus years of marriage is when the woman says to the man, "Hey, let's go golfing," and I'm not one that looks outside and says, "It's supposed to be damn hot." No, it's supposed to be roasting. She's like, let's go early. It'll be fine. So we go out there and we play. And you have to do this. You have to have water. If you have anything else, you're going to have a nap under a tree. That's how that works. So we did golfing. And then, what was it? I watched Tom Hanks' new movie, Greyhound, on Netflix. That was great. I watched Palm Springs on Netflix. That was pretty good. It's like Groundhog Day. I watched Charles try to play golf at Lake Tahoe yesterday, and a tennis player won, which was okay. It was a lot of Patrick Mahomes. Fitz was up there. Patrick Peterson was up there. Tahoe looked beautiful. But it's that time of year. It's the middle of July. Like you said, we start to get the itch. I am still one that believes that in 2 weeks from now, if we have baseball that gets started, it will be a minor miracle. If we have basketball that gets played, it will be a minor miracle. We have the Washington Redskins no longer as the Washington Redskins today. That is the story.
However, the Brad, however,
yeah.
Daniel Snyder did mention the word Redskins 7 times in his 3-sentence release that the team put out. He's excited about this name change.
Let me stick some sand in your
Snyder,
mouth.
Yeah, this is so-and-so, your 5 biggest endorsers. You need to change the name. On it. Yep, no problem.
Remember he put never in capital letters like 5 years ago? Never going to change. Yeah, I know. No, I know. And it's the league saying, you know, you've got to move on. And I'm fine with this. The Atlanta Braves have said, we're not changing our name. We might revisit the tomahawk chop. The Kansas City Chiefs have not said anything about this. We got Patrick Mahomes, man. We got hardware.
Right.
We got hardware. It's like the last thing we're considering.
I did see, Brad, one of the names that has been kind of circling around there for the Redskins. They would change to the Red Wolves, which I think is a pretty cool nickname. I mean, that's not a bad change.
It's not a bad change. I'm glad that I don't live there. I'm glad I don't live there because I was watching 60 Minutes last night, and they did a big piece. Anderson Cooper did a big piece on statues in the South that are being pulled down.
Saw some of it.
It was a great piece. It was a great piece.
Really good interview.
Yeah. And it was a thought. It was one of those that, look, if we're in a cancel culture where Eric Sorensen, you're stupid, I'm going to get everybody after you because you don't say what I believe. Cancel culture is the worst. It is cancer culture when you say that stuff. So to hear both sides of, like, the Redskins side of it, I've read some pretty thoughtful columns and items by people saying we don't need to change the nickname. And then there's the other side, and they both make great cases. It's not something I look at and say, okay, is this the worst thing that's happened? Peter has been on the Washington name change for, I think, since we've been doing him, Peter King. He has written that he's not going to use the last name. And Peter's on vacation right now. He has to be losing his mind with everything going on. Like, you take 5 weeks off and, I don't know, before you left on vacation, Washington was still known as the Redskins. Roger Goodell was not about Black Lives Matters. Just, you know, the league is just, in 5 weeks' time, is just, whew.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes was on a rookie deal.
Right. So the Cardinals open in 2 weeks. 2 weeks from today, Cardinals camp is going to open, or supposed to open. How confident are you that that is going to be the case?
Confident.
I think the NFL, for them to take a step back, would never happen. So I'm right there with you. I think the fact that they got out in front and canceled the Hall of Fame game and at least two preseason games, and the fact that the players have said, we're not going to play the other two preseason games, to me says, okay, we're going to get started on Labor Day weekend or whatever the first week of the NFL is, and the quality of football won't be pretty, and I'll be okay with that.
Yeah, I will too, because the games will count. And you know, Brad, the NFL is going to do what the NFL wants to do. Remember back in April, everyone's like, oh, no, we can't have a draft. No, we shouldn't have the draft. This is not a good time to have a draft. Goodell's like, eh, we're going to do the draft. And it was not perfect, but for the most part, it was fine. It went okay. Yeah. You know, it's a new world for everybody. So
I want to talk a little bit later about LeBron James not wearing a social justice message, why I'm absolutely fine with this. And in this day and age where everybody expects people to step up and step forward and all that, you don't know what's going on behind the scenes with his abilities and his resources. So we'll get into that a little bit later. But up next, Steve Patterson. Around 10:40, Michael Fabiano, the Hall of Famer. We'll talk business of sports, the Pac-12 and its future, and much more with Steve Patterson. That's next. Welcome back in the Desert Financial Credit Union studios. We appreciate Desert Financial Credit Union being a part of Sports 360 AZ as our title sponsor. Steve Patterson is with us now, President Pro Sports Consulting. Very excited to have Steve on board. I had a ton of respect for Steve when he was running Arizona State in their athletic department, then over with the Coyotes. He has been in sports for 30-plus years. He is now in the role of trying to put out fires. Is that the best way to put it with COVID? Or are you a shoulder? You're a tall man. That's a big shoulder to get up to. With everything going on, I'm just looking for big picture. What are you doing in the midst of all this?
Well, a number of things. We wind up as a partner in Legend Labs, company I'm a partner in. We help with crisis communications in both the pro space and in the collegiate space. We help with a lot of branding and strategic communications. You know, also working with a lot of operational things. Right now, we're helping the city of Charlotte look at renovating their arena and potentially build a new practice facility for the Hornets, their NBA team. So, yeah, we're staying busy all over the country.
Steve Patterson with us. If you were sitting in the athletic director's chair at Arizona State today, which you had been at one point in time, what would you be thinking in your mind, given the landscape of what the Pac-12 announced and all the sports?
Well, I think number one, the primary concern of every university and every athletic department is safety first. And so you've got to have a safe environment where your students can go to school, your student athletes can compete. And, you know, given where the numbers are right now in a state like Arizona, we're in one of the hot spots in the country. you know, it's hard to see a safe, secure environment where you can have the health of everybody out there. So, you know, those are the kind of concerns that are happening on every campus in the country, not just in the Pac-12. And, you know, Larry Scott and the CEOs of the schools have got to make some decisions in the long run about where they're going to go. They've made some decisions not to play the non-conference football games and non-conference events in the fall. So probably a wise decision given where we are to try to give them more time to see where this coronavirus pandemic goes and plan to, if possible, have a conference season.
In terms of what Stanford did last week, Steve, did that raise your eyebrows?
Well, I think on the one hand, because it's Stanford, it raised eyebrows. I think on the other hand, there are business and cultural factors there at Stanford. They have no signage in the building. They have very little premium seating in any of their venues. They sort of take a non-professionalized approach that you may see at other more universities that generate more revenue. They have a very large athletic endowment, but they had far more sports than almost anybody else in the country. I think there's one other school that had more sports, more varsity sports. And virtually all those sports don't generate any revenue. So you've got the football team and generally at most universities, the men's basketball team trying to support, you know, 12, 15, 18, 20. In their case, I think they had 36 sports to begin with, something like that. And, you know, we're not in an environment any longer where one sport can carry the water for everybody else at the university. So I think you're going to see more of it. You're starting to see more of it across the country in some of the group of five schools and some of the power five schools. You're going to see more of it in the smaller schools. And, you know, you're also starting to see some of these conferences rejigger their membership around closer geographical alignment, which helps them reduce costs and help address, you know, not only the COVID issue, but the overall cost of collegiate athletics that's been a growing problem for many universities for a long time.
Steve Patterson with us, President Pro Sports Consulting. I had mentioned on the air last week that you got to think out of the box, but not too big of a box. And so just if we're talking football, to your point, why not have your geographic rival open the football season and then finish with your usual game? If it's Arizona State and Arizona opening the season, raise interest in media, one. Two, you don't have to travel. Three, you can play each other at the end of the season. I'm not asking specifically on that, but thinking out of the box right now, or is this, guys, you just got to run for shelter and run for cover. What strategy do you take?
Well, I think you need a number of strategies. You got to obviously be planning to play fewer or no games in football and maybe fewer or no games in men's basketball in the fall and potentially moving all of that to the spring as the junior colleges are looking at doing. But I think you need to do a better job of managing data. I think you need to do a better job of sales. I think you need to do a better job of fundraising and really focusing what you're doing with your fundraising towards those particular alums or other people associated with the university that support individual sports. So, you know, stop sending a football solicitation to the woman who was on the golf team that doesn't care about football. You know, go sit down and talk to her about what we need to support the scholarships for women's golf. And, you know, many universities don't do as good a job as they could with that, with targeted communication, knowing who their alums are, having a clean database. I mean, those are just some of the things that that you could work on to be in a better position going forward.
Well, this is a time, too, where you go put your arm around those people.
You do.
And,
you know, it's not an easy time for a lot of them either.
Right.
People's businesses are impacted all over the place. So you have certainly seen a lot of the universities furlough people or take salary cuts or, you know, try to cut down on what could be viewed as extraneous costs. But, you know, there's going to be a lot of pressure on the universities as a whole and then pressure on the athletic departments, given that there's so much pressure on the alums that you have and the donors that you have, and the usual people that buy season tickets and, you know, the sponsors that are out there that are struggling. And, you know, you look at as you well know, right, advertising is down dramatically, 20, 30, 40% in some cases across the country. You got the IMG Learfields of the world are struggling and trying to restructure their deals. You got Under Armour is cutting back on their sideline deals. So, you know, you get a lot of economic headwinds right now.
What do you have a feel about the school like an NAU and a Big Sky conference in the future? What's your view on that?
Well, I think the difficulty is trying to maintain a sort of competitive level with the Power Five schools, but at the same time, not making the commitment that you need to make to generate the kind of revenues you need to be there. You know, nobody likes it when I talk about generating revenues. All it does is provide great opportunities for student athletes and better opportunities for them. But the reality is you have to start thinking about, you know, how are you selling your tickets, not only to football and men's basketball, but how are you selling tickets to the volleyball team? You know, when we were at ASU, just by way of comparison, you know, we had a very successful program, had a coach that was really supportive of what we needed to do in the community. The team was involved in the community. We maintained a database, had a great sales effort behind it. And we were generating five times as much money in ticket sales as, say, the University of Texas when I went there. So, you know, if you focus on each one of these teams individually, treat them as little mini businesses, because otherwise you're going to be totally dependent on the ups and downs of the football program. And, you know, you're not going to win every year. So you have to try to make each one of those teams more independent. And it's a different model for each one. You know, you're not going to sell a lot of tickets to golf, right? But you got a lot of people that are generally wealthy donors that play golf. Okay, let's have a conversation with them about how you support the program. You know, softball, you can sell tickets. You go someplace like Utah, their gymnastics team sells 10, 12,000 tickets every night. Well, you know, so it's a different model depending upon where you are. You know, you go to Oregon, you got one billionaire that underwrites all the facilities up there. Okay, that's a different model. You go to school with a big population, you may have a student fee that helps pay for it. So it's a little bit different model everywhere you need to go, but people need to be looking at all those opportunities to support the school and to support the athletic department.
Steve Patterson with us, President Pro Sports Consulting. Before I get you out of here, a couple other questions. Future of bowl games.
That's going to be interesting. You know, I don't know. I mean, you got to get through a season first. You know, in the long run, yeah, there'll be bowl games. In the long run, will there be as many? You know, who knows? Does there need to be as many? You know, maybe not. But, you know, what happens if you go play football in the spring? Are you going to move the bowl games to the spring, maybe? I don't know. You know, wait and see. It's going to be interesting.
What pro sports league do you think is handling this really, really well that you look at and say, boy, their leadership has really navigated this the best?
I think so far the NHL, they got ahead of it, and they got an environment where they extended their labor agreement. And, you know, they're going to report today and we'll see how it goes. I mean, they're in an environment that certainly the numbers of COVID cases are not as high as they are in Florida. You know, I'd be real antsy going in the next couple of months in Orlando and trying to put all those teams into a bubble and play. I mean, God bless them. I hope it works, but I'd be real scared about it right now. And, you know, you've seen soccer out there playing, which is great. And women's soccer out there playing, you know, hopefully we can pull it all off.
Stay well, stay safe. I appreciate the time. Good conversation.
Happy to do it. Take care.
Stay well. There's Steve Patterson with us, President of Pro Sports Consulting, former athletic director at Arizona State, also at the University of Texas and with the Arizona Coyotes. And we're back with more Michael Fabiano right around the corner on the fantasy football front after this timeout. All right, Michael Fabiano comes up in about 6 minutes, so a short segment here. There's a few things that are on my mind today. Michael Bidwell, get well, was hit with COVID back on the East Coast, and you don't want to hear that happen to anybody, so Michael, get better. He's out of the hospital now. The Coyotes open training camp today. It's interesting from Steve Patterson about the NHL. Quietly, they have gone about their business, and yes, they have a labor agreement in place, and you look at all the other leagues and just some of the turmoil that has gone on, especially with baseball, and just trying to get back on the field. While I'm excited for baseball to get back out on the field, you just kind of look at it today on the 13th and say, I'll believe it when I see it. Hopeful though. LeBron James not wearing social justice messages on the back of his jersey. So here's the thing. we see in sports all the time. Public relations, marketing, people wanting to make sure that they tell an athlete to do this or say that because most of them cannot get out of their own ways. Most of them need people to put them in positions, or they just simply have the resources to say, you know what, polish up my image, make me look great, get me ready for the next steps. Lots of athletes do it, happens all the time, happened to a bunch of them right here in the Valley. It's just part of the deal. And I'm not bad-mouthing them, it's just they pay people to make them look better. So LeBron James does not need to do that. I'm LeBron James. I don't need to put something on the back of a jersey just so people can say, that's right. So anybody who wants to criticize LeBron James, and LeBron James for some reason is low-hanging fruit. There are some people that never seem to want to give him a break. Okay, even I saw a Zoom with him on Saturday where he said, I'm trying to become the best, maybe one of the best, if not the best player to ever be in the NBA. And people hated on him like that. Well, it's all about MJ. It's all about whatever your opinion is. He's just simply stating that he's pretty damn good. So no social justice message on the back of LeBron's jersey. I'm sure that's not going to hurt jersey sales. And I'm sure that it's not going to be something that he's going to face much back. If there's any backlash, and I've seen some on social, and really that's because people on social have way too much time on their hands, and they feel like they're invincible because they have this. So I'm just kind of like, I'm good for LeBron. Good for him. And then Anthony Davis said the same thing, his teammate with the Lakers. Good for both those guys. I have no problems with this. Michael Fabiano from the NFL Network, the Hall of Famer, on Fantasy Football, the first big deep dive after this timeout. As promised, the Hall of Famer is back with us. You know that it's close to football season. Even if you don't know it's close to football season, when Michael Fabiano pops up via Skype, the Hall of Famer, SiriusXM, his brand new show where he is just crushing it. It's not just an occasional deal. Tell me about this show. We had you on a few months ago when you were hinting around. It's mm-hmm. now come to fruition. Where are you at on this?
Yeah, Fantasy Dirt on SiriusXM, 210 XM87 with myself, Bob Harris, and Mike Dempsey. 5 days a week, 8 p.m. Eastern time. And it's you're going to get all the information that you need to help you draft well and win your league and be competitive. But I always, and you know this about me, I always like to bring in sort of like the celebrity aspect of things. So we have tons of celebrity guests on. We've had Joe Buck on from Fox Sports. We've had Jeff Garland on from Curb Your Enthusiasm. We've had LaDainian Tomlinson on. We've had Jerry O'Connell on. Today's show, we're having Michael Fabiano on. It's really going to be like the Twilight Zone. Michael Fabiano is, he is a tenor, and he is one of the best out there. And he and I have become friends on social media because we have the same name, and everyone always asks him fantasy football questions. And I occasionally will get included in a tweet that has something to do with an upcoming show that he's doing. So we thought, you know what? I'm going to bring Michael Fabiano on the show. Why the hell not? Guy's got a great name. He's from Jersey. He's a Yankees fan. So it all makes sense. So I'm going to have him on at this point later on today.
Checking boxes. That's what we like to say.
It's going to be fun.
Okay, so here's the thing. Does he give advice on Daniel Jones and can you sing?
So no. I used to be, when I was in college, I was in a cover band and I used to be the singer. Now, I don't know if I could sing anymore. Oh. Probably can't. What's funny is that we used to cover Guns N' Roses, Metallica, Alice in Chains, who, oh, by the way, is like my pals now.
Give me some, Michael, if you used to.
No, I'm not going to do that. I got to warm it up. I feel like Michael Fabiano, the opera singer's fantasy advice is probably better than Michael Fabiano, the fantasy football analyst, singing. So I'll leave it at that.
That is so great. And that's on SiriusXM. That is later today. Mm-hmm. Planning your team around COVID. Okay, that's what I'm hearing about. So let's just go to very granular, basic steps for everybody's watching saying, what do I do here? I would think handcuffing would be bigger than ever because you just don't know.
I mean, the big thing is you need to expand your rosters. That if you're in a simple sort of 15-round draft, you need to make it bigger. You need to make it 18. You need to make it 20. You have to have injured reserve spots. And we haven't really found out from the NFL yet sort of how a COVID player is going to be treated in terms of his designation. Will it be like an injured player, or will it be a different designation like baseball has done? So what we need to do is we need to either add reserve spots, add injured spots, do both, or designate one or two spaces on your bench for COVID-19 players. And because it's not fair, Brad, if say we already know Zeke Elliott has coronavirus, or he had coronavirus, but if one of your first round, if you have a first round pick and suddenly this guy goes down and he has coronavirus and you have to sit on that player for a minimum of, I would say, 2 weeks, right? Then if it takes a little bit longer, because after that, he's got to be tested and make sure that everything is good to go. You know, maybe you lose him for a little bit. It's not fair that you should lose a bench spot for a player who's got COVID-19. So designate a spot for those players or add more injured spots, but you have to add more bench spots. And as you mentioned, being smart about your backfield, like if you draft Dalvin Cook, you have to try and get Alexander Mattison. If you draft Kenyon Drake, at some point, you're going to want to try and get Chase Edmonds. It just makes sense because of what's going on right now, the uncertainty that's going on right now as well. There's even been some leagues out there that have gone just like team QB. So in this instance, it's not going to have a huge effect on a lot of teams. Like if you get Jameis and Drew Brees, that's pretty good, right? So maybe that's going to affect the rankings a little bit, like Dak Prescott, say, and Andy Dalton. But of course, I have to throw the Cowboys in there. But, you know, if you have like the Giants and it's like Daniel Jones and like Colt McCoy, I mean, okay, whatever. But that's also something that fantasy owners can do as well.
You know, it's interesting because you have said through the years as we've gotten together, and I totally agree with you on this, if people are trying to draft leagues early, tell them to get lost this year. I mean, should wait all the way until Labor Day weekend. There's no reason to do drafts in any league at all. If you're the commissioner guys out there, wake up, understand what we're in. It's never been like this before. You're wasting everybody's time, and it's not fair. You put down your money and half your team gets wiped out.
So. Right, exactly. I mean, unless you're doing best ball, which I've been doing best ball like crazy. We run best ball drafts basically back to back to back for Fantasy Dirt for SiriusXM. And I've done some other ones as well. And at that point, I mean, like, you know what a best ball draft is, where basically you don't set your lineup and those lineups are already pretty deep. I mean, you're going 20, 22 deep. I've done some industry drafts that, you know, it's basically just content for online publications or magazines, that kind of thing. So in those cases, you know, I kind of have no choice, but you're absolutely right. Especially this year, don't draft until the last minute. It makes no sense at all. I'm actually doing a fantasy baseball draft next week. The opening day is the 23rd. I'm doing the draft on the 20th or the 21st. I can't remember what the date is, but I'm going last minute because the last thing you want is to have a draft too soon. And suddenly Aroldis Chapman gets coronavirus and now you're screwed at closer.
You just answered my question. It doesn't matter, Michael, when you do the draft, you're just going to take a bunch of Yankees anyways. That's just,
I mean,
it's just you. It's like saying you're not going to have any Cowboys on your team. Come on. I know better than this.
For baseball, too, like, I don't follow baseball nearly as much as football for obvious reasons, but, like, I'm tuned in on the Yankees, clearly, and the AL East. The Yankees have already had bad luck, man. Chapman getting it, DJ LeMahieu had gotten it, Luis Sessa has gotten it. But it's just the world we're living in right now, guys, and hopefully the thing that happens here that we all want is for sports to start and not be interrupted before the end of the season. So you have to understand that this is going to happen. Big name guys are going to get coronavirus. I mean, we've seen Zeke get it. You know, Von Miller has gotten it, and it's going to happen. So as a fantasy player, as a commissioner in fantasy leagues, you have to adjust to make it fair for your league, because this year, more than any other, you really need to expand those rosters.
He is the Hall of Famer, Michael Fabiano. You can hear him on SiriusXM. First pick in your fantasy draft, if you have it today, is who?
It's McCaffrey, but it's very close between McCaffrey and Saquon Barkley. I wouldn't be surprised if Saquon ended up being the number one running back. But McCaffrey, with the workload that he's going to get, he's still a young man, had one of the best fantasy seasons of any running back in the history of the National Football League last season. So he's one, Saquon's two, and then Zeke is number three.
And then if you finished out, say you're picking seventh right now, mm-hmm. seven, ten, give me like your top 10 fantasy picks right now.
So I'll give him to you off of my list. I've got McCaffrey at 1, Saquon at 2, Zeke at 3. I've got Michael Thomas at 4, although in a lot of drafts that I've been in, he's been falling to like 6, 7, or 8 because, Brad, running back is so important this year, even more than in past years, that people are pulling, like, you know, Joe Mixon, for example, Derrick Henry, Alvin Kamara ahead of Thomas. But I have Thomas at 4, Kamara at 5, Derrick Henry at 6, Joe Mixon at 7, Davante Adams at 8, Miles Sanders at 9, and Nuke Hopkins at number 10. But again, I have been in drafts where 12 teams have picked and 11 have been running backs. It all depends on what your strategy is. It really, I'm going running back in almost every single draft that I've been in. So, like, if I'm at the end of the first round, if I get Kenyon Drake and Austin Eckler, I am absolutely thrilled. And fantasy owners out there who have not done mock drafts will find that wide receivers are going to be readily available and really good ones in the third, fourth, fifth, sixth round. So make sure you go after those running backs early, because I promise you, unless you're in a unique scoring system where quarterbacks are a premium or another position has that a premium, running backs are going to go quick and they're going to be gone, and you're going to be scratching your head thinking, what the heck am I going to do with my RB2 week in and week out?
First fantasy quarterback rookie who has a chance to give you value to your team this year?
It's certainly Joe Burrow. And I have talked about rookies a lot on the show. Think about it, Brad. There's been no OTAs outside of, you know, some like private workouts that quarterbacks have put together with their teammates. Camp is going to begin in a few weeks. Who knows how that's going to look? I don't know if there's going to be a preseason or not. I would think they shouldn't be. Why play two preseason games? It makes no sense whatsoever. Just get in the regular season, the playoffs, and the Super Bowl. So I feel like in this sort of case, rookies, not running back so much, because, I mean, you know, running backs, hand the ball, run, you know, find a hole, go, you know, catch the ball. Like, pass protection may be a little bit different, but quarterbacks, wide receivers, tight ends, they're going to have a harder time transitioning from college to the pros. Why? They haven't had all these workouts during the offseason. They haven't become acclimated to their teammates. Even guys, maybe not Tom Brady because he's Tom Brady, but other players out there who are playing for new teams, who have new quarterbacks throwing the football, who are learning new offenses. There's a huge learning curve now, and I think there's going to be a delay. And I've talked to NFL players, Brad, that think the statistical start to this season is going to be a lot slower than in past seasons, because there's a chance that week one could be the first time these guys are actually playing games since the end of last season.
Right. It could be sloppy. Before I get you out of here, the Hall of Famer, Michael Fabiano, I'm going to throw some names at you and one position group off questions from fans. Melvin Gordon, Denver Broncos.
I have him listed as an RB2, sort of in the middle of my teens at that position. I do understand that Philip Lindsay is going to put a dent into some of his touches, but I've sort of feel a little bit better about Melvin Gordon ever since he did sign with Denver. I mean, I don't feel like Royce Freeman is going to have nearly as big of a role. There's no way that he's going to. So it's going to be Gordon. It's going to be Lindsay. Gordon's always been a top 10 running back. Not anymore. But I still think he's going to be a pretty nice RB2.
Daniel Jones with the Giants.
I love him. And this is a Cowboys fan from the tri-state area saying that he loves a Giant. Okay. And I'm not saying he's going to be like Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson in terms of his statistical success, but I do feel like he could be this year's quarterback that everyone was able to land late, who ends up being a top 10 fantasy quarterback. I really like Daniel Jones a lot. They improved the offensive line. He's got weapons in the passing game. Last year had 4 games with over 28 fantasy points. The other 2 previous quarterbacks to do that as rookies, Cam Newton and RG3.
Teddy Bridgewater, Carolina.
Haven't seen him drafted in a lot of leagues outside of Superflex leagues or 2 QB leagues. Last year when he started for the Saints, he only averaged 15-plus fantasy points. Wasn't much, and that was a better cast of characters than he has in Carolina. I feel like he is going to be a matchup-based QB2 during the course of the season who's not going to have a massive impact on fantasy. And that's nothing against Teddy. Deep position, and that team is going to run through Christian McCaffrey.
Eagles wide receiving core. Got questions on that.
So Alshon Jeffrey's status is really up in the air to begin the season. He's probably going to end up being on the PUP list. So I'm seeing – and DeSean Jackson, we know the – well,
off the field,
you know exactly what happened with him, but it doesn't look like he's going to be suspended. I've seen him move up a little bit in terms of drafts. Jalen Reagor, the rookie who a lot of people love, I've seen him move up in terms of drafts. But also keep in mind, you've got Zach Ertz, you've got Dallas Goedert. They've got a lot of mouths to feed in that offense. So with Alshon Jeffrey potentially being out to start the season, there will be more targets available. but I don't see any one Eagles wide receiver being better than maybe a wide receiver three in fantasy and probably an unreliable one at that.
One last question, DK Metcalf. Getting a lot on him.
Love him. Breakout potential, although some would say he broke out last year. I don't think so because he didn't finish in the top 30 among wide receivers, but he was really good in the second half of the season. This all depends on what the Seahawks do. Like, they've been tied to Antonio Brown. And if Antonio Brown ends up in Seattle, that's going to put a little bit of a hurt on DK's ceiling. Yeah, yeah. But if it's just Tyler and it's just DK and it's Philip Dorsett, DK Metcalf is certainly going to be one of my favorite breakout candidates at that wide receiver position this season.
I promise this is the last question. Anything I didn't ask you about that's really in your wheelhouse that you're really passionate about?
Listen,
today?
Man, anything for you. Number one, you can never ask me too many questions. It's all good. I feel like you've covered everything. Again, I hope people will go out and check out Fantasy Dirt on SiriusXM, Sirius 210 XM87. 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. Going to have a lot of fun with that show. Make sure you check that out. And over the next couple of weeks, I promise you I'm going to have some more news on my future in the industry. So make sure you check that out.
Good stuff. And you can follow Michael, of course, on Twitter. We appreciate his time. As always, there is the Hall of Famer, Michael Fabiano. Have a great day, pal.
You too, pal.